And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Game Notes Podcast, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. Before we get started, just a little bit of business. If you're hearing this Sunday night, November 28th, or Monday, November 29th, now is your last chance to support the show, support me and Tony. Go to theathletic.com/gamenotes. Sign up for just $1 a month. That's a pretty good deal, Tony. You can read Tony Jones. No ads ever, Tony. $1 a month.
You know what you can do for $1? Listen, I used to be able to get 10 packs of Nowlaters for, $1. 10 cents a pack. Okay?
That's, oh, my God,
so
man.
Basically, you can get a subscription to The Athletic for 10 packs of Nowlaters per month.
Let me ask you, Tony. Totally going to change the subject here, but go to theathletic.com/gamenotes. Support the show. Tony, did you used to sell now and laters at school?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, you did.
I sold them for 25 cents a pack.
That's right.
I bought them for 10 cents a pack and I sold them for 25 cents a pack.
Damn, we are old. Man, we are old.
I had the grapes. I had the lemonades. I had the rainbows. I had the green sour, the green sour ones. I had the reds. I had them all. I used to buy them for 10 cents a pack, and I would take them to St. Angela Hall School in Brooklyn, New York, and I would sell them for 25 cents a pack until Sister Marie Tramontana, yes, I'm calling out her entire name, until Sister Marie shut me down.
Well, I was more of a Starburst guy, but that's just me. Tony, what's up with the Jazz, man? It seems like they've kind of lost their rhythm. I'm not quite sure what exactly is happening, but I mean, it's been a rough stretch. And we saw Rudy Gay's return as an opportunity for this team to do something that it hadn't been able to do the last few years. And that's to give guys nights off and, you know, lean on an extra player who can create and all these other things. And well, now all of a sudden, you look at what's happening. They lose that weird game to the Grizzlies, and then they have, I mean, the Thunder give them everything they've got, and then they drop, I mean, and this is embarrassing, Tony, to lose a home game to the Pelicans, oof. And then, of course, they come back on the second night of the back-to-back, and they demolish them. But they felt the need to play Mike Conley in a back-to-back in order to sort of right the ship. And that's not a great place to be for them at this point in the season, Tony.
Well, in the word, the ball's not moving. They're playing selfish basketball.
That seems about right. I mean, what did Rudy Gay say? What did Rudy Gobert say the other day?
Put your egos aside.
From night to night with this team, and even from quarter to quarter, it varies. So what's the solution? Do you know the solution?
This is what Rudy Gobert said. For three games, we'll move the ball, and then for the fourth game, we'll do something else. So we're recording this on Sunday. On Saturday night, the Jazz played their best game of the season. And it was the only game of the season where, like, there was focus on both ends of the floor, and they absolutely just wiped the floor with the Pelicans. And they played focused basketball, unselfish basketball for 48 minutes. The ball popped. And they haven't been doing that this year. The ball hasn't been popping. They haven't been moving it. Too many guys have been kind of doing their own thing. And I think on Friday night, I think that was the crescendo that was, and everybody called it out. Glenn Snyder called it out. Donovan Mitchell called it out. Rudy Gobert called it out. You know, everybody called it out. Everybody called it for what it was. And we got to look at it for what it was. The Jazz have been playing selfish basketball. And, you know, it's a different team this year. You know, and there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And you know what? And that's fine to have all of that talent, because from 1 to 9, you can make the argument that the Jazz are the most talented team in the league. They don't have the most top-end talent, of course, but from 1 to 9, collectively, there are a few teams in the league, if any, that are more talented. But that talent has to buy in, and guys have to make the extra pass. And for this team to, because there is no Kevin Durant, there is no LeBron James, there is no Stephen Curry, there is no Giannis Antetokounmpo, there is no Luka Doncic, there's none of those guys, there's no Nikola Jokic, there's none of that elite top end, there's no elite top end talent. These guys got to play as a unit. They got to play as a crew. The ball can't worry about who gets the shots or who gets the touches. And the Jazz have not played like that. And as a result, they're 13-7. They've dropped at least 3 games that they should not have lost this year. At least. You can look at, there's no way they should have lost to New Orleans. There's no way they should have lost last Monday night to Memphis. There's no way they should have lost that game on the road to Orlando. So you're looking at least 3 games where the Jazz had no business losing, while the Suns and the Warriors are playing stratospheric basketball. And I'm going to tell you, you know, as much as the Jazz say, hey, you know, seeding doesn't matter, seeding is going to matter this year, because the Warriors and the Suns are both ridiculous teams. And if you want to get to where you want to go, the road is going to be a lot harder for the Jazz if you have to go through both of those teams in order to get there.
Those are juggernauts. Well, as right. We're recording this on Sunday, you know, the Suns have won 16 in a row. The Warriors have won 7 in a row, and they lost that weird game to Charlotte, right? It was the first night of a road trip. You know, the Warriors probably should just be 18-1 or 19-1 right now, but they're 18-2, and the Warriors have won 10 straight games at home by double digits. So to your point, Tony, as much as Utah is a great home team, guess who else take care of business at home? I mean, the Warriors and the Suns both win at home. And if you look at their I mean, of course, neither team's really lost that many games. The Warriors are 11-1 at home. The Suns are 8-2. And Utah, normally, like we just talked about this 2 weeks ago, this homestand was an opportunity. Because Utah doesn't normally lose at home. They have the inherent advantage of playing at altitude. And when teams come in there, it's a little bit more difficult. They got great fans. And 7-4 out of the gate at home, and including losses to Memphis, who has the worst defense in the league, and the Pelicans, Indiana, who's awful. The Pelicans, who are just embarrassing. I mean, this is bad, Tony. I mean, it's not the end of the world. They're still the 3 seed, and they're going to right the ship. But, I mean, this is ugly. This is an ugly stretch that a team this good should not be going through.
Absolutely. I mean, for them to still be 13-7 and in the 3 spot, it shows the drop-off from the 3 teams at the top to the rest of the Western Conference at this point.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before?
Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Tony, I'm going to just say this because you keep mentioning Utah in the same breath as the Warriors and the Suns. And I don't think it's fair to do that anymore. Yeah, I think
I agree with exactly what you're about to say. Until the Jazz prove it, they're not in that class right now.
Yeah, I think that they're more, I mean, they're in a sub-tier sort of by themselves.
I think right now they're in their own tier. Right now, so if you look at the tiers of the West, right now, it's the Warriors and the Suns in their own tier, it's the Jazz in their own tier, and it's pretty much everybody else.
And the Nuggets, I would say the Nuggets would be up there with the Jazz, but they're just not healthy.
And they're not, and you can't put the Nuggets up there with the Jazz because they're not going to be healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more of a, if they were at full strength, if Michael Porter Jr. wasn't hurt, that's a mess. But Utah, full strength all year. Right? But this is just not what we expected, for sure. We thought that, you know, Utah maybe they would experiment some, and they might deal with some adversity because of the experimentation. You know, hey, Rudy's going to guard on the perimeter more. And so with that, maybe you're going to give up a few more buckets that you wouldn't. Maybe you lose a couple of games here and there that you wouldn't. But that's not what's happening. This is not experimental losses. These are just losses due to, like you said, poor execution, selfish play. Unlike the Utah Jazz that we've come to know the last few years. And this is a team that's at its best when it's sharing the basketball on offense, and everybody's locked in on defense, or Rudy at least is locked in on defense. And the basketball, I mean, even in the game that they won against the Pelicans Saturday night, they only had 24 assists. I mean, the Pelicans had 27 assists. And not that that's a direct indicator for good team basketball or good ball movement, but at home, when you're saying we need to move the basketball, I do think that that stands out to me.
I think it's one of these things where it shows why windows are so fleeting, right? Because you're coming into this season, and if you're the Jazz or if you're the rest of the NBA, nobody sees the Warriors rebounding from last year to being the juggernaut that they are right now. So all of a sudden, you're the Jazz, you're coming into this season, you're like, okay, well, we can, you know, we can experiment, we can do different things, and, you know, we can still, you know, finish this, do this, do this, and, you know, we can still, you know, be okay. But, you know, now you have a team that honestly looks like they remind me of the 2015 Golden State Warriors, where, you know, they're the best defensive team in the league. They have the most active hands in the league on defense. They're a nightmarish team playing small ball. Steph Curry is playing at some of the highest levels of basketball that he's ever played. I mean, right now, he's the landslide MVP of the league. And they haven't even gotten Klay Thompson back. So, you know, it's one of these things where if you're the Jazz right now, you know, you don't want to have to be the 3 seed and have to get through Phoenix or Golden State to get to the Western Conference Finals, or get through both of them to get to the NBA Finals. And, you know, so if you're the Jazz, you don't want to lose. I mean, it's early, but you don't want to lose contact. And you're 4 games behind Phoenix. You're 4.5 behind Golden State. Those two teams are showing zero signs of slowing down. You got to right the ship if you're the Jazz. And, you know, I mean, this, you got to play for one another. Those two teams are playing for one another. And the Jazz haven't. They just haven't. And I'm shocked because, like, it's, you know, as a writer, you know, as a writer who's covered the Jazz, this is my eighth season covering the Jazz. You know, I struggle to remember another time where they've kind of played like this. You know, Friday night was jarring. I mean, you know, it was just basically, you know, one or two passes. You know, somebody goes one-on-one and tries to score. And guys were collapsing the defense off the dribble. There were guys that were wide open on the perimeter, just wide open, and the ball wasn't coming to them. And it was just, I was, you know, you just look at it and it's just like, this is just selfish basketball. And credit to the Jazz for getting into the press conference and owning that. You know, Donovan Mitchell said, I need to be better. Rudy Gobert said, you know, we're going to look at this. We're going to get to the end of the season. We're going to look at these losses and we're going to regret this. You know, Quinn Snyder, you know, was as demonstrative in his own way at calling his team out as he's ever been. I mean, like he said, collectively, we have to figure out what we want collectively. And, you know, and I think that the difference this year is that there are a lot of players on this current Jazz team that are playing for something individually. And that's true and that's okay, but you got to do it as a unit. And nothing solves anything more than winning. And, you know, and here's the thing, you know, the Jazz have a championship window this year, but I am not so sure that this, you know, I won't say that I'm not so sure. I'm pretty sure that this is the year. Like, this is, you either get it done or this team is going to look significantly different next year, because the Jazz will be a repeater tax team next season. And it's just hard in this smaller market. Doesn't matter how much money your owner has, it's hard to be a repeater tax team or to justify it being a repeater tax team for a team that goes out in the second round or isn't a championship contender. So if the Jazz don't prove, if they don't make a deep run in the playoffs this year, if they don't get to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals or win it all, this team is going to look different next year. It just is.
Well, the funny thing about that window is by the time you realize it's closing, it's already closed. Right? The time to shake things up is usually much sooner than the offseason following, you know, a disappointing playoff performance. Like, that's just how it is. But I don't think we're there yet. I think that would be jumping the gun. But I do want to talk about Conley playing in the back-to-back. And this is, to me, if you want one good takeaway from hammering a really bad team after you've played them and lost embarrassingly the night before, the one good takeaway for me is that they felt the need to play Conley for some continuity, but he only had to play 21 minutes. So they actually did. It was worth it to play him. You get what I mean, Tony? Like, right. You didn't waste that bullet. You actually got the job done, righted the ship, hopefully. You hope that this sets the tone. But you got it done in only 21 minutes of working time for Mike Conley, which is huge because Mike Conley needs to be at 100% and in his best condition come April, not in November. Like, this stuff, this game should not matter enough to have to break your scheme for the season, the rest scheme for your older players. But here they were having to do it. So I will say a good takeaway, Tony, is that they actually did come and knock them out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it was a good takeaway that they played as well as they did. Like, they were really, really good.
Donovan Mitchell talked about their defense, man, and I think that that's big. When you get Donovan talking about their defense in the post game, he said this: I feel like if we hadn't made a three-pointer the whole game, but we guarded like that, we would have been in a good position to win the game anyway.
Right.
That's how good our defense was. And he's right. You know, the Pelicans only hit 1-3 in this game, and that's because Utah was all over them. They were running them off the three-point line, and they were actually using the Pelicans' fatigue to their advantage.
Yeah, they played as good a game collectively on both ends of the floor as they have all season. And, you know, they were really good defensively. They were really good Joe Ingles was really good defensively against Brandon Ingram, and I think the scheme was really good defensively against Brandon Ingram. And, you know, they ran him off the line. They made him take tough contested twos. They turned him over. Then, you know, they, you know, just executed the heck out of the thing offensively. And, you know, they shot the ball. The ball moved. And, you know, it was the Jazz that we saw last year. That was what we saw Saturday night. And, you know, if this team is going to get to where it wants to go, I mean, you know, you have to see that consistently because, you know, think about it like this. I mean, as well as the Jazz played on Saturday, can you look at yourself and can you guarantee that that's the same Jazz team that's going to show up against Portland? You know, probably not at this point. So, you know, I think the Jazz need to establish some kind of sample size. They have two home games left on this stand. And then they have a rough four-game trip out east. And all four of those games are games they can lose if they don't play well. I mean, Cleveland's playing really well this year. The Minnesota Timberwolves are playing very well for them this year. You see Philadelphia and Joel Embiid on the second half of a back-to-back. You see the Washington Wizards, who are 13-7 in your third game in four nights. All of that is on the road. That's a tough road trip. And then you come back and you get the Clippers, and then you get the Wizards again. So it will behoove the Jazz. It really would behoove the Jazz to really knock this out, finish well, and get on the road and try to go get on the road with some upward momentum.
The good teams take care of business, Tony, and until we see otherwise, I'm not ready to call this Utah Jazz team good right now. And again, I think it's going to be a blip. I do expect them to be the third seed pretty strongly. I think that they are the third best team in the West right now, and they haven't played like it, and hopefully they will. It's kind of a weird week for them schedule-wise. They've got only two games. They got a game Monday and a game Friday, and then they have to travel. Maybe this little bit of rest that they've got at home, maybe that's just the thing to kind of get them right. They're going to have a practice, I'm assuming, at least one. And, you know, I think the Jazz are a team that they come out of practices with a little bit of a boost.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they do. And then sometimes they don't. Well,
hopefully
play well.
In this instance they do. Because I think that some of the the lack of connectedness that they've got on offense is that's not usual for them. Now, yeah, they ignore Rudy Gobert a lot when he's the role man, but it's not normally like this. It's not normally guys just not moving the basketball This many games in a row. So hopefully a little bit of practice will right the ship. You got anything else, or you want to get out of here?
Other than, you know, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was fun, man. I had a really good time. Milwaukee took care of me. The Partnows took care of me. Yeah, it's been a good trip. Also, shout out to Des Moines. Very nice city. I really enjoyed Des Moines.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa. I know. It's so funny, but I think I'm a big Des Moines guy. Pretty nice.
Okay.
Yeah. I gotta come hang out in Salt Lake City. I gotta see
Maybe I'll compare the two.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. We'll have another show coming out later on in the week where, we'll talk about some of the stuff happening with the team. Don't forget, go to theathletic.com/game notes. Support the show. Support us. Sign up for just $1 a month for a whole year.
$1 a month.
Get there by midnight on the 29th. That's Monday. Get there by midnight for just $1 a month. It's so cheap. Such a good deal. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been Game Notes.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.